Welcome to the Highway Podcast, season three here. Appreciate you guys listening. Looks like Greg cannot hear it, so even better. Hey, you're just going to sit there in complete silence while we play random music, dude, which is going to make this whole thing.
We could act it out and then he could try to like
Yeah.
guess what it is.
Yes. So we're going to do intro songs, and he'll just be sitting there chilling, but we'll edit it in for him, so no big deal. Hey, if you want to, you can play your song on your like cell phone. What? Oh, he's got it. He's got it. Okay, cool. All right. Let's see here. Oh,
Oh,
our
but what
video.
if video keeps turning off?
Maybe that's what the issue was too. So, anyway, welcome to the highway, the usual shit show that it is.
It's off to a good start.
Off to a good start. We're actually missing one cast member who is officially 13 minutes late, and I think that everybody can probably guess who that is without me saying.
Yeah, if we want to give hints though, it is deer season. So
Oh, he'll have a good excuse when he comes
yeah,
in.
it is the time of year for bird to be MIA.
Am I? All right. So let's introduce who is here. I'm going to introduce the brain power behind everything that we do. It's the one, it's the only, it's the Smitty. Nice song. What's up?
Yeah. Oh, nothing. I've like become obsessed with this dude now. And I think the way I can, he looks like a country pimp, like this Paul Cawthon or whatever.
Country pimp.
Yeah, that's the best way I can like think to describe him because he's got like this big old fur on and like a cowboy hat, just and like sunglasses. It's just the vibe he puts off, but I like it.
Okay. Yeah, I like his music too. What's the other one? Cocaine?
Cocaine Country Dancing.
We'll have to introduce him to the secret, super secret guest that nobody knows about here in just a second. Hey, should we introduce him to let him? No, I want you to introduce it. Do an introduction.
For Greg?
No, I'm going to introduce him.
Oh,
I'm
for
going to do
you.
it good.
Oh, okay.
I'm
For
going to
you.
do it right.
So, wearing his Texas hat.
Oh my God.
We're just picking out random things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, it's fitting. I didn't realize that's
That's
the
why I wore
connection.
it.
That's
Two
not the sole
Texans.
reason you
Yes, it
wore it.
is. All
Okay.
right, peace. It's me. There we go. I like how again the guests are just sitting there in silence while we're hitting the freaking
He's just clicking all around.
hitting the tunes
Trying
over here. He's just
to
like
figure out the song of it. What are we playing here?
Hey, so that was Greta Van Fleet,
When
When the
the
Curtain
Curtain
Falls, which
Falls.
is pretty badass, man. I think you like that band. They're kind of what would you call like a modern Led Zeppelin? Is that what we kind of always hit?
Yeah,
Nice.
they have a very retro vibe, but for now. And he just like
Nice.
belts it.
Yeah, he's like as tall as this water bottle, but he's got a voice, man, like no other. I'm serious, dude. It's freaking legit. It's freaking legit. All right, so we do have a guest, obviously. So I'm gonna introduce him.
You don't want me to give it a shot?
No, you're absolutely horrible at that. And I'm sorry, GC, you ain't gonna get to hear your welcome music, but we'll have it on. We'll be rocking on your
Oh yeah,
behalf.
watch, I'll dance
How
to
about
your
that?
music.
Yeah.
We'll get it that way. I'm good.
All right, brother, we'll get it edited in too. So my Texas brother from another mother, my one-armed, well, he's got two arms, but I'm only going to say he's got one arm. He can tell a story here in a minute. My one arm sitting, or my one arm having, couch sitting, water sipping, not swat having, GC one time.
Oh man.
Right, boy. Oh shoot, we may have to guess. All right, hey, we got your tunes played in. We'll get that edited in for you. What up, brother?
What's going on, guys? How y'all been?
We good, we good. And we just got
What's going on, big dog?
What's up, Bert? How you doing, bud?
Rehearsal.
Yeah, we'll
Is
let him
it
explain himself here in
her?
just a second.
Is it actually
I got
her?
some spying to do, son.
If it's really her, even,
What are you
but
hearing?
like,
Do you have background? Is there background on your end?
My wife's probably talking too loud back there.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That's I thought it was on our end. We got a little girl running around in here too, so
Where's she at?
she's over
That's
there, I
Bert.
think,
That's her.
under the toolbox. Well, hey, you just got in for the intro. Is Bird rolling in 17 minutes late?
Hey,
Can we?
super sorry.
You want me to hit you? I picked out your workout or your
Or what do you
walk-up
have?
song. You ready
Well,
for it? Yeah.
surprise. You can't
Oh.
even see
All
me.
right.
Yeah,
All
good
right,
choice.
Bird's here.
That's
Yeah,
great.
I figured you'd go with that.
Yeah.
Bird's here. All right, GC, what up, brother? It's been 2 seasons, or I guess a whole season, right? Because you
Whole
were on
season,
season
yeah.
one, right?
Been a hot minute, yes,
Yeah,
sir.
season one, and then we was going to get you on season two, and man, we were freaking all over the place, which isn't an excuse, but super glad you're back now. So what's been going on, man? If you want to introduce yourself too, I know we got some new listeners, kind of maybe give a small background on you.
For sure, Greg Castro with Live Oak Police Department. I'm just from the outskirts of San Antonio. Been doing the good Lord's work for the past going on 9 years now in February. My dad of one, I got two bonus children that are fully grown, 28 and 26, I believe, out in Colorado. Beautiful wife supports everything I do and kind of disagrees on some things that I do, but she keeps me in line. For the most part, man, just coming out here and I've always wanted to be a cop, got caught up in some self-employment stuff for a while. And my wife told me, get out there and do what you really want to do. So I'm out here kicking doors and having fun.
Hell yeah,
Hell
dude.
yeah.
Now, were you promoted last time that we talked?
Yes.
Okay, then you just got promoted, right?
Just
Last
got
time we
promoted to
talked.
sergeant.
Okay,
Yeah.
so how's that going? It's been about what, a year, maybe a little
This is going
over?
on my second year, December 28th.
Okay.
So it that has been a phenomenal ride. I've heard from other sergeants that, hey, the sergeant patrol sergeant's the best place to be at, and I could not agree with them more. When I came in, we had to implement some plans. We're getting hit hard with some car burglaries,
Okay.
and we came in, I set some plans up and got input from the shift and, hey, how do y'all want to do this? This is what I see we can do. Where's everybody's input? And we threw some things on the wall and they stuck. And our crime, just for our shift alone, stopped within 2 weeks. The other day shift, they're getting hammered still. But when my shift was on, we were at designated locations at times we need to be at, just swarming the areas, doing traffic stops, getting out, talking to people, just showing heavy presence. And that stopped. And everybody's like, what are you doing? I was like, well, got the team effort, man. Everybody's in here doing this. I continued on our weekends that we work.
Your
Of course, every police department's empty on the weekends, so we do our room clearings, we do traffic stops in the back, do mock traffic stops. What can we do to improve? We watch videos on social media. Hey, this is what happened. We'll get to the jiu-jitsu side of it, pull some mats out, and kind of how can we recreate what this fight was about? What can we do to prepare ourselves if that happens? And we even watch our own body cameras when we get in our use of forces. This is what was happening here. What could he or she have done better? And man, I couldn't. The shift that I have, I couldn't ask for a better group of guys and girls. I mean, they are just 100 miles an hour. I have to fight sometimes to take a call for myself. If I get a call for service and they're just taking them, it's like, hey guys, let me, I forgot how to do this stuff. Let me, how do you write a, the CR3s for crash investigations? I forgot how to do that. Let me get in there. Like, no, we got a sergeant. Like, damn, man. So the one time they do get me once, a 7-car pileup. I was like, where are my people
Yeah, dude, that's all you.
at?
That's all you,
They
man.
left. There you go, Sarge. You want to hit it? I'm like,
Yeah,
all right.
that's
I,
right. They've
yeah, but it's been
built up a
it's
bank.
been. What's that?
I said they built up a bank, and that was payback.
They
Yeah.
definitely did, definitely did. But it's been good. I'm looking into actually, I'm probably gonna be transitioning to investigations next.
Oh, okay. And now is that a promotion or just a different division?
It's just a different division from patrol to CID side.
Okay.
Due to the injury. The promotion came a little quicker. The move over came a little quicker than I expected. I was planning on doing, I want to do 10 years on the road, just so I can feel for some reason 10 was a magic number for being a decent road cop, right? And then moved investigations. But you know, when injury happened, we had some promotions go and the spot came open. I was like, I think this is the time for me to jump in there now, to do it. Plus, you know, the age is kind of getting up there, but yeah, man, it's been fun.
What you want to explain your injury maybe to everybody? Because I mean, obviously, I know about it. You and I have ch chatted about it.
I haven't heard about it.
Oh
All
man.
right, let's hear it.
So the injury, it's partly being an old man that won't give up and doing too much on the body. So I'll backtrack, and we March, our team, we decide, our SWAT team decided that we're going to be part of the Texas Tactical Police Officers Association SWAT competition. We call it TTPOA. The competition's been going on for years. It's pretty much all the state of Texas SWAT teams that want to participate. We get some guys from California, Louisiana, from different other states out that'll come in here and jump with this one. It's a 4-day event. You run the stages blind, meaning they'll give you, here's the few hours before, and the night before they give you the idea of what the competition will look like, and you go in and run it blind, and it's on time, accuracy. So I've been trying to get my team to do this for the past 3 years, and they finally said, hey, let's go. So we started jumping into it, started training. So from April until September to August, the team would meet up with a team of six. We had to do the tryout process with the whole team. Everybody had to do it. So six of us got picked. I was one of them. Every Monday for 2 hours, we'd meet as a group and we would do high intensity training. We could, you know, get some farmer carries, run with their kits on, sprint back and forth and shoot. I believe it was a 2-inch circle from at least 10 yards out with elevated heart rates and stuff. Program accuracy, because we had no idea what this competition was going to be about. Nobody's ever ran it. So fast forward to the beginning of August, we were getting to the competition was October 5th, I believe. We got about 2 months out. All of our personal training was left to us. We train as a team every Monday, and then what we did at home was, you want to do runs, sprints on your own, you want to go long running, whatever you want to do, it's on your own time. So we got 2 months out. I decided, well, let me increase my workout load. We're going to get ready for it. So I started doing more. The way I do my workouts, I let life dictate what days I'm gonna work out. Basically, I plan for seven. Life gets in the way. Little girl's got violin practice. She has stuff at school going on, injuries, wife, hey, we got other plans. Those days will, you know, tell me I can't work out. But for the most part, I was hitting about 6 days of nonstop training. And even on my rest recovery day, I was still doing some kind of push pull movement, meaning, you know, push ups, pull ups, something just to keep the muscles activated. I changed jiu-jitsu gyms in this process.
Hey, what's your age also, by the way, because we're talking about, kind of getting up there. What's your age?
I just turned 47 in July.
Dang.
Yeah.
Man, dude. I was
Hey,
thinking like,
respect your elders, son.
I thought you just hit 40, bro. That's a
Yeah,
compliment.
it's
Hell
it,
yeah.
it hurts, man. It
Dang.
hurts.
Okay, nice.
So in this process, I was at one jiu-jitsu gym. I changed to another one to get more intense. My cousin owns it, and he's told me, man, you know, get over here, come, we're gonna train better. The one I was at, it was less sparring, kind of working on, it was more for the people who don't know how to fight or less aggressive people. I put my training into the streets. You never know who you're gonna deal with. And I wasn't pushing too hard, so I was at his gym training, and I went to put a guy in a Kimura, and I'm putting the submission on the guy. And just extending my arm, I heard a pop, and I felt, if you get your fingers and run them up your arm, that's what I felt my tendon do. My bicep popped off the bone.
Ooh, shoot.
Yeah, and it was kind of a weird feeling. I immediately pulled the guy back in my guard. He started attacking my arm because he felt it go weak, and I was like, "No, I'm done, man." And I looked down my arm. I saw the difference on it, and it was like,
Oh,
"Okay, how bad is this?"
dang.
Left there, called the wife on the way home, said, "Hey, I screwed up. I messed up my arm." You know, she was like, "What are you doing? We got to work." And I was like, I didn't do it intentionally. Not like I was trying to not tap out, right? You know, I extended my arm basically. Went to the doctor, and just like a little med center, and she was like, "Yeah, it looks torn. You know, MRI will tell you the most." Made an appointment with orthopedic, and he looked at it. He was like, "Yeah, it's fully blown." MRI confirmed it, so it was a full blown distal tear on the bicep tendon. About 2 inches it popped up, so that just shut me out of everything. I couldn't, the competition was out. I've been off work since. Surgery was August 28th. I haven't been to work back yet. So it's been a little roller coaster on the personal side with that, having to deal with not be able to do things.
Yeah,
You
I
know, I
feel it.
thought like when you and I talked, can I tell the story that you told me?
I guess we can hear
Yeah. I mean,
the
this is just what you and I talked about. I thought you said that you went to Chipotle, got this big ass burrito, and then you had to run to the toilet and you actually reached around to try to wipe your ass and you ripped your bicep. I thought that's what actually happened.
No, that was a second tear. That's what happened on the
Okay.
floor again.
That's the other arm.
That's the other arm.
Well, damn,
Yeah, but
man.
that's
Okay.
about the gist of it.
Dang.
So you haven't done anything as far as like physical activity, or what are you doing? Are you doing some cardio and stuff on the side?
Man, I'm doing legs every single day in that elliptical, and I'll go for a mile and a half run, what I can do, but everything upper body is not included. I get for a while, the doctor had me lifting nothing over a pound, which everything in your house is over a pound. You know, a cell phone, my hand would shake. And then he put me up to 2 pound weights, and now I graduated 5 pound weight, and I never thought the pink dumbbells would make me shake as much as they do. And
Yeah.
it's crazy on how much you lose, how long it take to build that, and then just a blink, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
So what's so you tore it and then your team went on, right?
the team went on. Our goal in this thing was not to get last place, because we did not know what to expect, and we got 32nd out of 35, so the goal was accomplished.
There
There
you
you
go.
go.
And what, heck yeah.
How many were in it? How many? Or I'm sorry, you said 35, but where was it at?
35.
That's what I meant to ask. Where was it
It
at?
was in Conroe, Houston, right outside of Houston.
Okay. And
So
is there video of this one? I thought you sent me a video of one.
I sent to, I think it was just the overall, I think it was from a couple years ago. I have some videos of the obstacle course. I drove down there on the last day. The last day is just a pure obstacle course, just an ass kicker. I had to go support him, and throughout the week they're doing it, I was getting text messages, updates, talking to the guys, and it's just, you put so much time, 3 years wanting to do this, and then now we get to go to the show and my arm blows out. It was like I was that close to doing it. So they were good about keeping me up to date on things, but being there is what I really wanted to do. Be part of the end of the competition. But I had to go for that Sunday. I woke up at 4 in the morning, hauled ass, watched him compete, and drove back down the same day.
Dang, man, that's tough. What a kick in the nuts.
Yeah, it was a big one. And then me and the wife
Yeah. Yeah.
we went on a
Yeah.
morning walk, and I kicked myself in the nuts again. I had a little scratch on my back, on my lower back, on my right side of my right arm that blew out. And I reached back just to put a scratch, and I felt a
Ooh.
pop again. I was like, I didn't feel good. And I went back to the doctor, and it tore again, the
Oh
same
my
arm.
goodness. Oh
So
my goodness. Dude,
We contemplated.
it sounds like you need to hit
Huh?
some biceps or something.
I guess I hit him too hard. I don't know. We contemplated surgery, a second one. The doctor said, it's just, asked him what he would do, and he thought about it. He said, that's a rough choice. I'm like, yeah, it is. This is my sick time, because it's not an on-duty injury, so I'm burning all my sick time that I have.
Oh, dude, that hurts.
I had 9,500 hours of sick, and it's all gone. I'm down to 100 hours now. And he told me, he said, I'm based on what I do, I'm going to say 95% chance that nothing will be wrong with this if we don't do surgery. And I said, let's go. So I just got to mind, I got to be careful what I do now.
How much longer are you out?
So depending, if I'm waiting for the official word on the investigation position,
Okay.
I should know by Monday. And if I'm the only one that put in for it, then there'll be no interview process. I'll just get jumped in. So I'm looking maybe December 2nd to get back to work, technically on light duty in a sense, but investigations, it's all computer work for the most part. But if not, if I were to go back to patrol, it wouldn't be until January 1st.
Okay. So how much weight do you think you're going to gain when you move to investigations? And when I say
Well,
weight, I mean pure body fat.
right now the injury happened, I was at 220. Well, the injury initially happened. I'm about 235 now, so 15 pounds just for
Big dog. Freshman.
just from that time. I don't plan on gaining weight. I plan on losing more as the arm gets better. I'm gonna try to set a trend with investigations. Like, you can be in shape and a badass looking investigator and don't have to be
Yeah.
all big butt. But we'll see how it goes. I'm still gonna train. I still gotta do my stuff that I do mentally wise.
Cool. Let's go back to the your supervisor as or being a supervisor as a sergeant, 'cause I meant to ask you this earlier and I kind of got sidetracked with your arm. Let's you know, when you wiped your ass and you ripped your bicep.
Yeah.
What are some things you've done wrong? Some things that I shouldn't say wrong. That's a bad way to put it. What are some things you could do better? How about that? Because, you know, there's a lot of new sergeants that listen to this with some younger guys and stuff on their shifts. So we can always do better, right? So what are some things that, if you had to give advice to some new sergeants, what are some things you could do better, you think?
Man, to show more empathy towards your troops. That, and then, you know, just be honest with yourself on things. I wouldn't say for the most part, I did anything wrong. To make better would be, I might slow down my training I did on them. I pushed so much training. They loved it. I think I was just lucky to have those officers that are just gung-ho to get it. But I could, we have one officer on the ship. It's kind of like, nah, it's not for me. We never had a conversation about it, but it was just outside looking in. I would say probably slow down my training that I do on them because I was pushing a lot. That, and I mean, for the new ones, it's listen to your upper line. You know, they've been there, they've done that. I wouldn't go on the way we've always done it part. Always ask the questions of the whys. Try to get out of the old habits that we've done. If it's been working, if this way it's been for so long, it's not really not going anywhere. And listen to your heart, man. It'll tell you everything in there. How would you want your supervisor to bring you up? So for the most part, I think I did everything right. Everybody went home safe. I didn't get any write-ups. I still have my position. So that's a good day for me.
Yeah, absolutely. What's this? Oh, Smee just writing some notes here. So I like to, I talk about some stuff, and, you know, everything to me is like a learning opportunity, right? And I've worked at three agencies, so I've had numerous sergeants, numerous supervisors. And for me, even if I have a really, really bad one, which one comes to mind, and I do talk about him in the actual class, but I guess I won't mention his name on the potty, but he was just absolutely atrocious, horrible. And even in a situation like that, for me, it's like I can learn from this dude, but it's learning like what not to do. You know what I mean? So, yeah, sounds like you did good. And I have no doubt that you did good. But, you know, hoping guys are looking at you saying, hey, I like this, I didn't like that. I just think that's important from a officer standpoint. So a slick sleeve or corporal, whoever's under you or whatever, or even people above you, right? Hey, this guy's doing something right. His guys are happy. You know, what can we do different, or what can we learn from that? So either way, good or bad, I think it's always a good chance to learn.
Yeah. One thing that I did do, I asked the group, the shift, about every 2 months, how am I doing? You know, from their perspective, what would you have? There's something that you want me to do different. Am I not doing this right? Or just give me what you're, you know, from the slick sleeves up to my corporal. And then I'd even ask my lieutenant, my chiefs, you know, hey, y'all seeing something different that I'm doing that I need to change? You're like, man, you're killing it. And for the most part, the officers, they were like, oh, keep doing what you're doing. You know, and I think I kind of have an idea what I'm doing out there as far as supervisor stuff. But I'm going to give it to the troops that they were receptive to everything I was saying. And I had that group that was just, let's go, let's do what, you know, he wants to do. And but I included them in everything, so I'll make sure that what they wanted to do, I'm down for it too, as much as, you know, my stuff.
Yeah, so I was, when the, I think that just making the time, you said you made time like every couple months to check in. I think that in itself, there's so many leaders that you don't see or hear from unless it's that, you know, annual eval structure, and you know, you don't talk to really talk to them again until much, you know, too long has passed, too much time. And it's I think the 2 month thing is a good, not a lot of people make time for that, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, no, yeah,
I'm looking for some, yeah. Right.
Hey, I'm sorry, right, guys? I'll be honest with you, you put that phone right in front of Big Dog and myself. I can't see Big Dog. So it's like I'm looking at myself.
I'm going to zoom in. I'm just going to zoom so you see yourself.
I see myself, so I'm just like pissed off at myself, which isn't out of the norm. But
he's just deep, looking deep into
it. Yeah, I'm like, yo, right in the way. I just see Smee right there where Greg used to be.
Yeah, so I think that just even making the time to check in on a more like consistent and frequent basis than like every year, I think that's a good leadership trait.
Yeah.
And then how did you, whenever you had that discussion, did you kind of how did you ask your guys about that? Was like it one-on-one or what was the?
Put in a group setting during our morning shift brief. You know, make sure we cover business first. And then I said, all right, guys, now it's y'all's time to critique me. What am I doing? Y'all like what I'm doing, what I'm not doing? I need y'all's input. We can do it in a group. Or if you want to pull me in the office and close the door and tell me how much I'm doing wrong. I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You know, this is what we got to do. And for the most part, everybody's like, we love what you're doing. Keep doing it. You know, so it's helped out. And to go from coming in, because I had two bad sergeants, you know, coming up and they were horrible. And one of them, I really wanted to slap him in the face in his office one day. And I sent the lieutenant email, said, hey, I'm sorry about disrespecting your sergeant, but we had a pretty big powwow. And to this day, I still don't care for him too much. So I know what it's like to have that guy that's just hounding you for nonsense stuff. And I don't want to be that guy. You know, fast forward to a year into the promotion I got on as a sergeant, I had a corporal rank up to a sergeant and I had an officer rank up to an FTO position, you know? So the chief, whenever they got up, I was like, that says a lot about their supervisor, which I said some words, I did some things, they liked it and they ran with it. And again, it goes on to the receptiveness of them of taking what I have to offer and, you know, how much they won't listen to it and agree with or disagree with, not use, but they implement a lot of stuff and they do. And it just, it's pretty cool that you can get somebody going from, you know, below you and making them equal and see how people can, you know, get climb the ranks with that.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I think it says a lot really when just in yourself, when you ask somebody how you're doing, I think that's a big, I don't know, big leadership trait as well, as when you're able to ask them, hey, how am I doing? Because a lot of the individuals that I encountered, I don't think that they were even confident enough to even ask that question, let alone, you
deal
know,
with the answer.
Deal with the, you know, the actual answer of it. So I think that speaks volumes when somebody's actually able to, you know, turn the question on them. And
yeah, I think it's humility too. You have to have some humility and understand that they might not like something you do, right? And you have to be willing to accept that, right?
Yeah.
You know, how many people want to be critiqued? I personally don't like it when someone doesn't like what I'm doing, because then I'm doing something wrong, I guess, in their eyes, you know. So, you know, I think that's humbling that when someone tells you that and you're able to, you know, to make, for me anyway, right, to make adjustments, because I've had some, not issues, but where people just don't agree with what I'm doing. And sometimes I take that personally, initially.
Yeah.
Right. And then I take a step back and I'm like, okay, you know, there's some things that I can fix. I'm not perfect. You know, I try to do the best I can. But yeah, there's always a time where you can some change things.
I think we talked a little bit. It might have been season one, and it might have been with Greg, but we talked about that healthy conflict, the separating the, like, you talked about it in
Past conflict versus work conflict, basically, or personal conflict and task conflict. So personal is I don't like you as a person, like you said, you know, that sergeant. I'm taking a wild guess. Maybe I'm wrong. That, you know, there are some personal things you just didn't like about that dude. But, you know, there are also task conflicts where I don't like what you're doing at work. But once we step outside of this work setting, like I have no problem with you as a person. We can still be friends, you know, or have a relationship, a personal relationship. So I think task conflict is important to have where, you know, when you can take it to a personal level, I think that's where it gets out of hand. Does that make sense?
It's a little slippery when you take it to personal level.
Yeah.
You know, it gets kind of sketchy on that side. So, and in my officers, you know, I've taken each one of them on a personal level. And, you know, because we're such a small department, it's how can you not? You know, like Santana PD, they got 1,000 some odd officers, 3,000 officers. It's kind of hard to get personal with the people you work with. Versus here, I think we only got 26 sworn patrol. You know, it's not that big. So you're very close setting. And it's, you know, when they mess up, it's kind of hard to, hey, come to sergeant's office and close the door. We got to have a talk about the video I just watched, you know, but then, you know, like I tell them, we're going to have some fun times. There's going to be some bad times. I hope we don't have to go write-ups, you know, but if we do, then that falls on me that I didn't do something right for you to where we went that spot. You know, I got one of my female officers. She went from an officer to an FTO. She came from the jail. And so she was a part of the CERT team. So she had that go and I want to hurt people and, you know, that just a constant drive mentality. And it took a lot for me to, I literally rode the back of her vest, pulling her like, slow down. Everywhere we went was slow down, think about it. And she was like, this is hard. I'm used to going constant. And I was like, yeah, well, on this side of law enforcement, you have that split second judgment to make. So why don't we slow down before we get there? To get, and I, you know, she's a friend. She's been invited to my house. She's met the wife. Most of my officers have been to my house. And to me, if I invite you to my house, it means I like you. Not everybody gets that invitation over here. Y'all get one, of course, if
I
y'all
was
want
gonna
to
say,
come
I was gonna say,
I'm just gonna stay here in silence.
Everybody besides me, right?
Like, am I supposed to take that personal?
Yeah.
I have
Well, I
yet
know
to
two
have
were in Dallas and didn't come down the extra trip, but hey.
yeah, woo.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but San Antonio, that's like what, another 3 hour? What is that from Dallas? Three or four?
It's a lot closer than where we're from you're at originally,
Dang, dude. Dang. All right, everybody, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
We're going. We're
Shots
losing
out.
Greg.
We
We're
do need to
losing
go to San
Greg. There's some
Antonio, though.
technical difficulties.
I haven't
What's
been in
that?
forever. I said we do need to go to San Antonio, though. I haven't been
Yeah,
in
we
forever.
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Go down there,
A potty road
little
trip.
river walk, and then
Nice.
do like
We can get you
an
to go to San
in-person
Antonio.
potty, dude. That would be
Come on,
freaking
let's do it.
sweet, man.
We could
Hey,
get Bird to Texas. I don't if you lived in car or in California or something, we're
not
probably not
going.
gonna make it.
Not going. He doesn't make it. What? How far do you, on average, a year, do you think you get? Not the family vacation, right?
Yeah.
How far do
You
you get
don't
away
have
from the
to
house?
count that one because you get drug out of your house to do that.
Yeah, without the family vacays, a year.
Yeah, what do you think? 50 miles max from
I
the house.
sometimes I go on the north side of Joplin, yeah.
So that's like 20 miles?
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't go far.
Yeah, he doesn't
Don't
travel,
leave.
dude.
But he was still 15 minutes away today.
Yeah,
He wasn't very far away.
I was only like a half a mile down the road.
Literally, it's a half a mile from this office to his house and
Didn't make it.
17 minutes. Couldn't
And we're still 17 minutes late.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be honest. My track record, I've been on time.
That's true. Early, actually.
Early. They're helping set up. Not
Yeah.
really. But just watch you
Basically,
guys set up.
talking to Ryan while he sets up.
Yeah. Let's see. And do you want to tell them why what you're doing today? I kind of gave Greg a little bit of the rundown on what you had going on this morning.
Well, yeah, I shot me a deer.
Because it was opening day here,
Yeah,
right? For rifle season.
rifle season. Shot a
Okay.
doe. Side note, that's not why I was late.
Dude, I'm giving you an excuse,
No,
bro.
I'm an honest guy. Okay? I'm an honest guy. It's just chaotic at my house. All right? Got three kids running around. Just, hey, time slips. And Call of Duty was downloading.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
So, all right. Anyways, but yeah, I shot a deer this morning. I got that baby gutted, cleaned, and then on the ice before 1 o'clock. Went to a birthday party. Just right up the road.
Did you still have blood on you?
I washed my hands.
Okay, because the birthday party, if I think it's like what, a mile from your house?
No, it was actually at the church.
Oh, so
Yeah.
2 miles? Come on, five. Maybe
Five.
five.
Yeah, but that was my venture for the day. And then I got back in and I started roughhousing the kids and all that jazz. Started goofing around, lost track of time.
Downloading Call of
Download.
Duty.
Well, yeah, I just had to watch it download, but
Okay. Still not download? Didn't download it last night?
it down. I downloaded it last night, but they've messed it or they've changed everything up where you have different things you have to download in order to play with your buddies online.
Oh.
And so that's what I was continuing to download, but
Gotcha.
that's not a great story.
Dang, man. I was giving you like I was wanting you to like embellish this. I got this huge buck. No.
He was setting you up to come walk in covered in deer
Yeah.
blood, still freaking
I was waiting for it, but let me down.
Yeah, he
a
walks in
high
and just
hurt.
like shorts and
Let's do one tomorrow morning, right around 11.
you go for another one?
17 minutes late and a bad story to go with it. Not good,
Yeah.
Bird. Hey, but I am telling the truth, unfortunately. Hey,
All
you can
right.
call me a lot of things.
Not a liar.
Not a liar.
Or a good storyteller.
Yeah,
Okay. All right.
didn't even embellish like at all.
No.
Oh yeah, sorry, the truth hurts sometimes. No, it
So,
was a good time though.
yeah, I don't know how we got all the way off of that.
Probably as
You segued into it.
yeah, I probably did it. It's my
Because
fault.
we were because he was telling us a story about the personal
Yeah, yeah,
relationship with his
yeah.
guys
I got way
versus the
off.
task,
There you go,
and then
Ryan.
how everybody that he likes has been invited to his house, and then that's how it
How
all
you
happened.
haven't
And
got
we weren't
invited.
invited.
That's how it, yeah, that's
Yeah.
how it happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like that you have a personal relationship. So I have some, I mean, where I work's a little bit different. Now, not the workplace, I mean, the division I'm in, because we have a rank structure. But like, you know, I'm a sergeant, so I may have, there's some corporals and then there's some slick sleeves, but we don't really, I don't supervise them, right? So we're all kind of the same thing because we're all instructors at a, at an academy. So then our supervisor together would be like a lieutenant. So my first supervisor is a lieutenant. And we have, I mean, I have a personal connection with her. She was an instructor before she got promoted. I mean, we went to a concert with her, what, a couple months ago,
Yeah,
if that.
October.
Yeah, so I think there is something to be had. You know, her and I disagree on things for sure. You know, we've had some very strong disagreements, but at the end of the day, you know, I consider us friends, and I would help her do anything, and I know that she would help me in a heartbeat if I had something going on too. So I think that's really important, is to have that personal, you know, relationship. And I worked in a agency. You said you're 28 so sworn. Is that what you said?
26.
26. And I think that, what was Monette? 20, 22?
Yeah, it sounds about, maybe, I mean, at most 24, but I don't.
Yeah, it wasn't big at all. And I worked, you know, at an agency very similar, and we all had, you know, personal relationship. And I never did get written up, or because I was pretty young, right? Slick sleeve. The only thing I did was just arrest people and kind of stay out of the way. But yeah, I've learned to have that personal relationship. So then I like your, what'd you say? How many times did you? A couple times a month, or every 2 months, you said you got with your guys.
Every 2 months, every 2, 3 months, I'd make a point to make see where they're at with it.
Okay, and that's abnormal, right? So I think we get a review once a year.
Yeah, the annual. Yeah.
Yeah, the annual whatever review. What'd you guys do in the Marine Corps? Do you know?
He's still waiting on his.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot to write.
Yeah, it's been 5 years since he's
I
been
think you
there some
did.
more now.
I think you did like annual. Yeah, I think.
Yearly stuff.
Yeah, I want to say when you pick up corporal there, you have to do it like quarterly. Maybe I'm making that up. It seems like when I got an NCO rank, I ended up having to get more paperwork talked about and like go and talk leadership about how you're doing and all that, evals and all that stuff. But I think at the beginning you do it yearly.
Yeah, I like the 2 months. That's pretty good. We have,
And it
there's
was
a,
just some,
go ahead, go ahead.
there's just something different. And I did it with, you know, when me and wife got together, she had two other kids, you know, from her previous, and through the dating and all that stuff, it was gotta check in with the kids. You know, it's there's another man coming into mom's life. You know, we're trying to make a family together. So how are y'all feeling about me? And that's where I kind of got it from, was in a sense, as a sergeant, those are the little ones, right? You gotta take care
Yeah.
of everybody on the ship, the same way I do the kids. Is how am I doing? What do you want me to change? Is everything good, or do you hate me? Like, where are we at with this? And you know, it helped with the kids, and I just pulled it over to there. And you know, I've never had somebody. I had one sergeant that would ask me, you know, every so often, how am I doing, man? And I tell him I agree with everything you're doing, or that last call was kind of, you know, I don't agree with. But it gets you more. It keeps you, like you said, the humility part.
Yeah.
You know, you're honest with yourself, and you can be at least when something goes wrong or. If there's a disagreement, you can't say, I never asked, you know, how where y'all were mentally, what y'all thought about what I was doing. You know, you hear some people like, oh, that guy does this, does that. Like, well, have you told him? No. Like, come on,
Right.
man. You got to speak your feelings. So instead of making it uncomfortable for the officers, I went to them. It was very uncomfortable. I was waiting, like, God, how bad is this gonna be? And they're, you know, it's open arms. I think that just helps out if the leadership steps down and says, what am I doing wrong? Because what leaders do that? You know, and the ones I have there were like, I'm right, you're wrong because of the way we've done it. Like, no, man, get out of here with that nonsense.
Right. Yeah, that's a big thing, is going to your guys and asking. There's another guy who's been on the podcast. His code name's Rooster. And he's a sergeant up on the north part of the state. And what he does is he has a like a review box. And I hope I'm explaining this right, but so basically it's like you guys can review each other, but it's like these notes that they put in this box that say, hey, this was a good thing, this was a bad thing. So the guys don't necessarily feel like they have to tell him to his face, if you will.
Yeah.
So he says it's worked really good. He's learned a lot of stuff about himself that he didn't know.
We're getting some feedback. I don't know what happened.
Was that mine?
What that is. Are you getting feedback on your end, Greg?
Nothing over here.
Damn. Yeah, sorry about that, dude. No
That
worries.
had to be Zoom, that something was Zoom.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Hey, we also Smee was making fun of me because I just sent you like the link with no subject line. And like I was wanting to type in that I was like an Arabian prince. Like
Free iPad.
I'll give you a free iPad and then I'll send you $14,000 if you'll send me $2,000 first. so I can
and
get
Walmart
out of
gift cards.
Yeah, so I can get out of this prison.
Yeah, it looks super sketchy. It was just like no subject and like a hyper, just a link. It was like,
I should just send him a picture of just like my butt.
Yeah,
because he's gonna open it.
Yeah, he's got to open it.
I see what this.
Yeah, we're just getting more ideas for the next Zoom.
Yeah,
we'll
fake some kind of sound issue and be like, hey, we're gonna send you the new meeting, and then it's just Ryan's butt when you open it. That's a good idea.
It's Texas ass, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, there's the picture.
Look at
right
that
there.
Bubble butt.
Oh yeah, we got
that
it mounted.
Did you listen to the last episode, the Texas ass one?
No, I did not. Not yet.
No. Okay. So there it's gonna talk about a picture. So we got a story in the Wall Street Journal about our green labs and stuff. And there's a picture, and dude, my freaking rumpus is just looking premier. So at some point, I'm going to need you to look that up, zoom in, and confirm that my rump is looking solid.
We'll take care of that. I'll get on shortly.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Where were we? I don't even know where we were at.
We were talking about humility and having the courage to ask people what you might be doing wrong with your leadership and how that was like the biggest step itself sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have anything you want to share? Like some things, some feedback that you were getting that you were like, oh, okay, I didn't know. Other than I know you kind of gave us like the training, push them a little hard, and that, and maybe some, I think you said having kind of more empathy and that type of stuff. Is there anything else that you want to pass on to some other sergeants?
For the most part, man, just, continue to ask your people what you can do better. You know, what would they like to have for training? Or put them in your shoes. What would you do and implement if you were a sergeant? You know, and I think people, it makes them think, around the spot, like, oh, what would I do? But then after a couple of days and have it just an open, whenever this thing conversation comes up again, or remind them again next week, hey, so what would you do if you were a sergeant? You know, what would you implement? Let's send that and see what it does. And my thing with my shift, and I told them, so I'll take anybody's idea if it's something that's, ethically, morally, not illegal.
Yeah,
we'll throw it to the wall, and if it sticks, we'll run with it. And if anybody asks, hey, who did that? That stick sleeve did. He's the one who came up with it, not me.
Yeah.
I just trusted the process and went through it, and we'll do from there. And some of the ideas that the guys came up with, I wouldn't have thought of them. I think my mindset was somewhere else. And they some simple ideas, and I went to a lieutenant, and like, who thought about that? Well, this guy did. He or she did. And when the officer gets a recognition for that, of just, hey, that was a great idea from lieutenant. You're kind of like, I do have a say. My voice can be like, yeah, you good. I got a big mouth. Something goes wrong, I'm quick to talk about it. And I think that's what everybody needs to get comfortable with, and just asking the question of, what can I do, or can we do this? This is the reason why I think it'd be great, and let the sergeant say, yeah, send it, and see where we go with it.
Cool. I like that.
I think that kind of starts something up, like the ball rolling downhill in a good way. Is then you start that tradition almost of asking them what I can do, and then they further on in their career, they start asking, and then you have this revolution door of just being able to get feedback and not just a one-way traffic street on communication. Because I personally never had a sergeant in the military ask me how he was doing. It was always, you're not doing good enough.
Yeah.
Or you need to change. But no one of my leadership ever asked me how they were doing. And I think if that were to be asked to me when I was in those kind of those lower billets, I think that I would have been able to kind of carry that on to ask my team, because I never asked them how I was doing. And I think that just putting it in the head would be a game changer. And I think it would start something sweet.
I think it sets the tone too, right? So now your guys or gals will eventually promote up and be in your position, right? Especially if you're moving to investigations. And if they like what you did, and I'm sure that they do, because everybody likes when their opinion is heard, then hopefully they take that idea and then continue that, right? And I think that's how we create a culture change over time, is really one shift, one officer, one at a time, until those people start to get in, sergeants, lieutenants, majors, whatever it is, but they still have that idea of, oh, wow, I want to have this two-way street of communication, because I think communication is important, number one. And number two, unfortunately, it only blows one direction sometimes.
Yeah.
And we got to open up that roadway so we can communicate better with each other.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
So another thing I want to talk about is, you and I discussed this briefly, but I don't know to the extent of, what you did and why you did it. But you talked about the You wrote a new pursuit policy, or wrote the pursuit policy, or assisted in writing the pursuit policy?
I got everybody's heads together, because right now our pursuit policy is violent felonies or felony in progress. You know, so if we get a burger of a hab and we get to the house and we see the car taking off, we're green light to chase it. If the guy's out shooting on a rampage and we're behind it, we can chase it. But a stolen vehicle, and I run your tag, a stolen vehicle, per policy, we're not able to do that. And there's some officers, to include some supervisors on different shifts, that, you know, since I've been there, there's a gray area in that policy. Like, I'm reading black and white. Where's this gray? And I would go back and look again. And, you know, from a smart ass perspective, I don't see nothing gray. It's black and white. And then I really look into it and it's like, no, that's, you're violating policy. You know, when I put those three stripes on, I really honed in the guys and, hey, what do y'all think about the policy? And, you know, I got one guy, he's been on for 19 years. Well, everybody's doing pursuits and they're out of policy. You know, they should be written up, if not fired. I went to a interview board with another agency to help with them hire up a sergeant. And I was talking to a chief from another agency. And we were not sure if y'all have other, but accreditations departments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're accredited, and that's, you know, when I was always told that we can't change the pursuit policy because of accreditation. You know, that comes from the chief. I was like, okay, chief says we can't do it because of this reason. I said, but the liability and legalities behind that, especially everybody violating this policy, get a good attorney and says, hey, let me see your pursuit policy. Well, that officer was in violation of that, and yeah, three people got injured, if not killed. That's a civil suit for that officer and for that sergeant to, you know, to continue up the chain with as well as the department. You know, so I was talking to this chief, and I told him, no, we're accredited. And he was like, I'm an accredited agency too, and we'll pursue you till the wheels fall off. I'm like, what? He goes, if you look in the accreditation, better yet. So he sent me the link to the accreditation site, and they have five different policies you could choose from. Years ago, somebody picked the most strictest policy for Live Oak Police Department. And when I brought it up to another sergeant's attention, he was like, there's no way. And I was like, this is the policy from the accreditation department. Like, we can pick and choose. So we had a sergeant's meeting and everybody chit-chatted. And for me, I'm on day shift. And I don't know if you remember how bad 35 and 604 North Corridor was, but you see, very, very congested. Day shift, we're not doing pursuits, you know, right, unless somebody is killed and we really have to get that guy. And even then, there's still going to be some restrictions on it. But I looked at it as the new officer coming in right off of FTO, and as day one by himself, he gets a pursuit. Is he going to wonder, am I doing this right? Because I read that pursuit policy one time, as well as 40 other policies that I just read. Am I getting things mixed up? I want to make sure this is clear as day for those individuals who come in our agency and say, that's a no pursuit, or we have a tier in a sense to look at for pursuits. We had a officer-involved shooting, and it started, I'm going to say, from a violation of city ordinance that worked up until the guy was shot. You know, there was a pursuit, there was high speeds, residential. Was it justified? Yes, but in my opinion, per policy, no. You know, it was a lot of no's, and I got a lot of people looking at me funny and kind of disagreeing with what I had to say, and you know, I kind of made my chief a little upset because I asked a question, you know, I don't understand, and make me understand this. And, you know, I told him, so I've never been a part of a pursuit board. I don't know what y'all talk about. And that's what he brought up is, you know, you get in these pursuits, we have the board, we talk about it, like, well, I've never been there. I'm a new sergeant, never been this board, never had a pursuit. So let's discuss. Why don't you bring the sergeants in and say, hey, this is a pursuit policy and this is how it goes. And this is what we discuss on that. Which, you know, he called me in the office again and says, I understand your question. But just know that I know what we're doing. And like, you got 40 years. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just asking why, to get clarification. Got with the sergeants again, and I told them, let's see if we could change it up. We had another meeting, and I made the chief mad again about the pursuits. We're putting these flock cameras up, and, you know, I mentioned, like, so we got these cameras to watch a stolen car go by, and we just watch them run from us, or are we gonna be able to pursue them? The chief stood up. I'm getting tired of that. I told you guys to get together. I was like, I thought we're doing it collectively. And he said, no, do it on your own. So I went and got some pursuits. You know, no sense in reinventing the wheel. Got a couple agencies with their pursuits, kind of pick and chose some things different from ours. We got a pursuit policy that allows Class C violations and up. I prefer to have Class B violations and up, but the chief, he went to, I think it was what mimic Claiborne's policy. And but there's criteria with it, as you know, Class C, providing traffic, you know, this and this and this during times. We could take it from there, but you know, it was getting the ball rolling and pushing the envelope of, you know, we have the cameras, we can watch this for what? Watching the car get by us, and nobody was asking that question, like, can we pursue? And you know, one of the guys asked me, like, why are you pushing so hard the pursuit policy if you're against pursuits? It's like, well, day shift, but I'm looking for the protection of the younger guys and also for the other supervisors, because the legalities and liabilities. And you tell a young officer that you can't do it because, you know, the liabilities, they don't understand that. But when they get those three stripes, like, wait a minute, I'm responsible for every single one of y'all's actions, you know, and I have to answer that why he did that. And did I clarify things? You know, one guy tells me, well, you're responsible for everything I do out there because you're my sergeant. And I said, no, sir, I'm responsible to make sure you understand our policies. I'm understanding to make sure you understand our procedures. I signed the policy the same way you did. Now, if you go off and violate, knowing that you had the chance to ask the question, did you understand everything in the policy? You know, there's three questions we have to answer after we read them. If you didn't do any of those, that's on you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's make sure we understand our policies, so that way if something does happen, I'm not going to get a civil suit. I'm not going to lose my family life because you want to do this. Let's go chase cars until the wheels fall off or do something stupid. You know, so the chief came in and he said, yeah, we're going to change it up. I got a policy that I think y'all are going to like. It kind of puts everything in there. And only restriction he's putting on us now is a driving course. So I think it's a 24-hour or 12-hour, 12 or 16-hour driving course. Not a pursuit class, but just to understand them, how the vehicle rolls different ways and different corner stuff. And he said that after officers get that, and we're putting classes on pretty regularly, I think there's another class going this week, to get officers spun up on it. It's mainly younger officers. Supervisors, we can't be in the pursuits because we have to be on the radio stuff. And I'm good with that. You know, that way it gives the new officers a chance. If y'all want to go have fun and go chase some wheels, you know, till the wheels come off, we can, but we're covering our butts legally, making sure that everybody has their certificate, says I've been through this, I understand this, read your policy, and it gives some different variances of what we can and can't do. Just so that way, A, we can be cops again, and B, that we don't have to worry about this gray area, right? It's the policy states this, I did that, what it states. I'm green light versus it wasn't a violent felony, but I chased him 10 miles. You know, we got the guy, but you violate all kinds of things in the process. And that's kind of where I went with it. And, you know, everybody's, I wouldn't say that I changed it all on my own, but I made a rough of a few feathers in this process and got the ball rolling with it. And I got the accreditation thing with it and started, hey, we can look at this. And after we all put everybody's heads together, then it all just came to fruition on this thing. So it's a good thing to happen.
Yeah. So you guys, your policy is less restrictive than it was, in addition to
protection
this,
of
and this driving course.
Yes. Yeah.
And the driving, little driving course we have to do with it. You know, part of it's, a lot of it weighs on the supervisor of when we're going to terminate. You know, and I agree with that 100%. The supervisor needs to make that call, but it also gives the officer the freedom to say, this doesn't feel right for me. Because if you're out pursuing a car and the sergeant says, you know, keep going, and you're just not comfortable with whatever conditions you're seeing, I think the officers feel that they have to do that, versus if I'm not comfortable with the speeds I'm going or what I'm seeing right in front of me, I'm going to call it. And we're giving that option to the officer to do that. Or, you know, supervisors say, hey, you know, if you don't get whatever you're looking for the next 2 minutes, call off. You know, but it puts a lot of responsibility on the supervisor to let the kids play. And I like that. That's what we're there for anyway.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Do you guys chase outside of jurisdiction?
Yeah, we have a part of it. Some boundaries that we can go to. You know, if I think we kind of set a parameter, I think it's 4 or 5 miles out. If you don't get your license plate by then we're terminated for sure by then. Forgot exactly how they put the wording in there, but we have little zones that we can get to. If certain criteria is not met by this area, shut it down. And if you have that stuff and it's still going, then you know, continue on going from there. But there's still some things that we have to look at as far as details on the pursuit. And since I've been out of work, I haven't had a chance to really dive into that stuff. So we'll see where it goes.
Gotcha. Have your guys responded to that, like whether positive or negatively?
They have, man, you can't make a cop happy no matter what you do, what you give
That's
them.
yeah, that's true.
Some of them are like, it's great. And other ones, well, yeah, but we can do this, but there's more restrictions on us. I'm like, well, you're moving a 5,000-pound vehicle at 90 miles an hour in congested areas. Yeah, there's gonna be some restrictions on it. My big thing is I went to, forgot the name of the class. I was a lead, the FBI lead, a trilogy course, and the sergeant put it on, or the chief was putting it on, was big on legality and liability. And after I understood that concept, it was like, boom, oh, this makes sense of why nobody gave me the why since I've been in. It's always been because I said so, because I said so. When I talked to a chief, he was like, no, there's a lot of whys. And so we sat down on lunch, and he opened my eyes up a lot, and I was like, I really appreciate you doing this to give me an understanding. Now, when I bring it to the officers, legality and liability, they stop for a second, like, what do you mean? Like, I can lose my household stuff because of your responsibility for actions you take out here. Now, if I cover my ass, which covers yours, then we're good no matter what we do out there. But we have to do understand this whole process we're doing to make it big. And for the most part, the young guys are, yeah, we'll get this, we'll get that. And it's the older ones who I got next to the guy been on for 19 years. He's like, we don't need to do that. It doesn't be done. But he likes the option of having that window where he can pursue if necessary. Outside the violent felony stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think you probably, I'm just taking a wild guess. You probably know how I feel about pursuits. Just through some, I don't know, social media stuff or something, but I'm obviously pro pursuit. And I think there's a place and a time for everything. How you're going to pursue a car, or let me rephrase that. The choices you're going to make on pursuing or not during the day are different than I'm going to make at 3 in the morning.
Exactly.
So I think that's where, a policy, I like policies to be, how do I say it? Not really gray, but if you really ratchet people down and it has to be, again, this is just my opinion, it has to be these three things, then it's like, I think we're setting our guys up more for liability issues. That's my opinion. So if we make it more broad where it is, hey, these conditions or officer discretion because or whatever, kind of leave that open a little bit. I know some guys rather have it black and white, but that's just my opinion. I think sometimes we ratchet ourselves down too much. And maybe not with young guys, but there's a lot of guys like your 19-year guy, he's got a lot of experience and he can probably make a call while behind a car that maybe you or I couldn't, right? And I think the guys with the most knowledge of what's going on are the guys chasing the car. So,
Exactly.
my big thing is I like to give those guys, I would say, the most authority, if you will, or
Autonomy.
the autonomy to either, because I've terminated plenty of pursuits, right? I got in and I'm like, oh shit. One was in Kansas City and we were ended up going down a bar district, which I'm sure is a shocker to everybody here. But I thought there's no way we're gonna pursue right down this bar district. So anyway, he goes out and another guy picks it up and they chase this dude all over Kansas City, all over. I mean, it was probably like a 60-minute pursuit. It was ridiculous. And it eventually, crashed out and they did a hell of a job. They did a fantastic job, but their conditions were different than mine 5 minutes when I was chasing, 5 minutes prior when I was chasing them, because then they got out on the interstate. Took a lot of main roads. It was really early in the morning. So that's where I think it's like, I mean, situations change within just a few minutes and it's the same dude. So, I don't know what the perfect policy is. I have no idea. I wish I did, but
So I have a question. So you guys had mentioned accreditation, and I don't know exactly what that means in y'all's world, but I do know what it means in health care. And sometimes in regards to accreditation and policy, sometimes that if you have a really, lined out policy in healthcare, if you have a really lined out policy and then your process doesn't match it or you're not proven to be following it, then you almost get in more trouble accreditation wise than you would if you had no policy or a very vague policy. So I think, and again, I don't know how it works in law enforcement, but I know that in healthcare, there were a lot of times where if we had a policy and it was, very defined, then and we were not showing that we were following our processes with our policy, then we got more dings or accredit, dockets on our accreditation because we said we were going to do this and we just never did it. We didn't put into place the things we needed to get it done. So I don't know.
Like
Again, I
you put
don't.
your, it's like you put yourself at a different standard whenever you get the accreditation. Like we're willing to do to be up here to have this beautiful thing. And if you don't do it properly, you're going to get shamed harder for it versus if you didn't have that.
Yeah, versus if you didn't, try to do that level of accreditation. So what is that? I guess my question for accreditation, what does that mean for an agency that's accredited? Like, was that what happens if you become unaccredited? I gotta know
That
what
I
it.
don't know.
Okay. Oh, like, because in healthcare, the accreditation process usually equates to higher return on the dollar from insurance companies. So, like, if we're X amount of accreditations, then insurance was more likely to pay a higher on our processes. But I didn't know what accreditation meant for in law enforcement. Like, if you.
That's a good question. I don't know.
That's above my pay grade.
She's also asking two dumb sergeants, so that's probably not the best two guys to ask
If I yeah,
from
if I had my
Texas.
phone, then if I
Yeah.
had my phone, I would Google it, because I am in, because like I said, I'm familiar with the process in healthcare, and when you lose accreditation, then you don't get reimbursed as highly by insurance. So that's kind of the push pull to be accredited, if you will.
I mean, I'm sure there's something to that. There's probably funding or something where you have to be. I'm just, again, I'm shooting in the dark here, but I'm sure there's, I'm sure like you guys probably get grant funding from the federal government at some point, like most law enforcement agencies do, or state funding, whatever it is. I'm sure you have to meet certain criteria to get that. I'm just
Yeah.
guessing.
So if it's accreditation and they're looking at your policies and your procedures and your quality standards, then that's probably what they're willing to fund more, maybe more grant funding based off of your, I don't know. I'm gonna have to look it up when I can get to
You know
my
what? I think this would be a
looking number.
good question for Greg number two.
Okay.
There you go. Greg number two has all that insight.
Greg number two got he's now an administrator. He was promoted since we talked to him last, so he's a that may be a good question for him.
So I was
Yeah.
gonna, so more about the comp, does Missouri do anything like those competitions that he was talking about? Because there are two people that come straight to mind when I think about them.
Like I'm the wrong guy to ask, and I've got nothing against SWAT guys. I do actually. You know what? I'm gonna take that back. I do.
Uh-oh, here it is.
I do. No,
You don't wear
SWAT.
that mustache.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's some SWAT guy. Oh, let me give you an example. This is how it real my SWAT experience or bad taste for SWAT guys started. So I'm in the academy, and we've got to do this thing where we're basically going to go up to a house, serve a search warrant on it, right? So it's a legitimate house. Like the state has property, and so you have to do this drive-by of this house. And so me and a couple fellow recruits, we go by, do this drive-by, come back, and they start asking us questions. And they're like, okay, where's the doors at? Where's the windows at? And I thought we did a really good job. It wasn't me. It was, I was driving the guys that were actually watching and writing stuff down. And they even drew like a sketch of the house, which like, man, that's really good. Well, it got to the point where they were doing such a good job. And then the SWAT guy in charge was like, oh yeah, well, what ply shingles were on the roof?
Oh,
And
God.
yeah, exactly. Right. And I'm like, what? And he's like, what ply shingles were on the roof? And I thought, what a dumbass question to ask. It doesn't matter. There could be a tin roof. I don't freaking know. So that's probably where my disdain for certain SWAT guys, right? And you know what I'm talking about. Some of those guys are like that, but and some of them are reasonable, because there was another SWAT guy there that was like, that's a dumb question. Let's move on. So yeah, I don't mind them. I don't mind them.
I was gonna say that AG and Greg number two would be like all about those competitions. It's out probably.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I don't think that we do that though. I could be wrong, but I've never heard of us going to any sort of competition. What that do anything for morale? Like your SWAT guys, like getting able to compete? Because that's the first year you guys did it, right?
Yeah, it gets the movers and shakers really moving and shaking now. And unfortunately, I probably will never be able to do one because of my arm. I'm listening to the wife. It's when the injury happened, like I'll be there next year. I'm gonna do it next year. And then as this progress went, the wife's telling me more. It's like I don't have those many sick hours no more to lose on this. Now, if this happened during training, like an actual
Right.
that Monday we trained together on duty, then I'm covered because it goes to workman's comp. But then you get those workman's comp doctors and surgeons who don't do the best work. So after listening to her, I've shelved the idea of doing it next year. I'm going to go more of help the guys train for it. And let's look at this perspective of it. But then we also looked into just like 1 and 2, 3 gun shooting competitions where there's not lifting and it's just you and your pistol or you and your rifle going through. I don't know if y'all do the movements up there for your firearm stuff, but get instead of the static shooting that we do as cops, to actually run and, you know, different courses like the IPSC term, like IPSC competitions. It's a maze that you go through and there's steel target, shoot, no shoot targets, and you have to make it on the fly and, you know, the best time with accuracy wins. And that's very relevant to what we do in law enforcement, you know, and clearing a house, make sure we shoot the right guy at the right time, the right speed. So it's really opened the guy's eyes up more and it's keeping me in that competition realm. But I don't need to, you know, the competition we're on some of the guys on some of the course they went through, it was got to carry the ram, got to carry this, got to make sure you have the shield, and they're walking back with the shield and a 60-pound kettlebell with their rifle slung, going over obstacles. And so a lot of weight stuff, variances on this. And the IPSC competition I'm talking about is just literally you and your pistol. And you just run through this maybe 20-second course on how fast can you run it and how clean can you shoot it. It gets the mover.
You did one like that one time, didn't you?
Yeah. There's competitions up here. Mine was not through work. It was, you know, private competition stuff. Me and a couple, one.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my first partner, I guess, if you will, on and when I was a city cop, we went and did it. I loved it, man. It was fun. We were, like, hanging from stuff, which I know sounds weird, but there's, like, this rope with, like, a little platform on the bottom of it, and they would, like, push the rope, so you're like swinging back and forth and you're really having to concentrate some steel targets. What's the star one, you know what I'm talking about, like as you shoot the star it begins to like move back and forth,
the Texas Star?
Of course. Of course.
So imagine like the Texas Star, and it's got different, the steel targets at different points.
Yeah,
when you hit it, that the weight makes it go faster or slower.
Yeah, we did some of that. I don't think we do that type of stuff. That's
like
something
as an
to
organization
look at.
That seems like a, I don't want to say like a wasted opportunity, but you see agencies and donating or buying a table at a charity, some kind of gala. That seems like an opportunity to do some kind of, you know, teams running these courses, fundraising, have, you know, bringing somebody to put it in or something. It just seems like that would just flow hand in hand with y'all's profession, you know.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
And the competitions, they're from, you know, they're not law enforcement related. It's just, you got civilians running these courses better than the cops do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got cooked. You know,
yeah, there's a shooting range I'm a member of, and it's majority civilians. And these guys are pulling from appendix carry the shirt over their gun and 0.8 seconds, one shot on steel. It's like from 25 yards. Like, how in the hell are you? You're a civilian. I'm glad you're on our side, though.
Yeah.
And when you see a guy who works at Amazon that is just moving this gun and just accuracy from, you know, all angles of things, and you're a cop, supposed to be a professional gun worker, right? Puts a different perspective of that. So with that competition, it's really opened it up. And now with the whole team, everybody's like, I want to be part of that. I want to do that. Because the guys came back and was like, A, it was an ass kicker. B, you got to see how your equipment really works. How well do you understand equipment? How accurate you are, and just overall, like, it is an individual shit show on that you're taking, because either you've trained up probably for it or you didn't. And when you get to competition, it's going to show what you got. So a lot of guys are like, I'm trying again, because we only had 14 guys, 11, I think 12 or 14 guys try out of 24 guys on the team. And the guys who didn't try were like, man, I want to, if I can do that, like, go try out first and get on the team. And now we're going to start training the guys. You know, getting these kind of, when my army gets better and I get back to full duty, getting these competitions and starts, hey guys, this is what we did this weekend on our own time, to get ourselves better for if that test day really comes on work on a SWAT call out or just on patrol. But yeah, it got everybody, it brought everybody in a little bit closer and tighter with it, because they want to know, like, what are y'all doing? What's going on? How is it? And it was just, it was a pretty cool thing to see. I wish I could have made the competition, but, you know, things happen.
Can you still be on SWAT if you're in investigations?
Yes. That was one of my questions I asked the lieutenant. I'm not done with SWAT yet. I can't let that go. And I asked him, is it good? He said, I'm not going to tell you can't. It's just understand every day you're off, there's more cases coming in.
Right.
As long as you can keep up with your workload, you know, it's, and, you know, the SWAT days is going to be considered a work day for me. So still getting paid for it. And my off day, I asked him, like, can I, would you might have a problem coming in on a day on my day off just to catch up? He was like, yep, we're giving you a computer if you get the position. You'll have a take-home computer with your internet puck so you can do all your stuff there, write subpoenas up, whatever you want to do. I was like, oh, so if I fall behind my day's off, I can work 3 or 4 hours from home and get those things tightened up. So we have about eight guys on our team that are detectives, and they've been doing it for a couple of years. And they said the beginning was a little sketchy and trying to understand. I'm gonna be drinking before they say from a fire hose, as much as a lot of information I've been getting. So maybe the first month or two until I kind of slowly start grasping things up, it'll be kind of sketchy, but I'm gonna go as far as I can with it and see what we can do. And at some point, my body's gonna say, okay, it's enough SWAT time. The arm blowing out. Right now, I'm still, if I go back to work early, I'm still not gonna be ready for a SWAT call out. I'm gonna tell the guys I'm not available for that, because it's just, if this arm doesn't let me move, pick up, whatever I gotta do, that guy behind me might lose his life. So I'm not gonna be that prideful. I'm a SWAT guy, I can do this, I'll use my other arm. If I can't do my job 100% fully and effectively, I don't need to be at that call out. So
What?
let's that.
Yeah, no, I think I thought of a solution to your arm problem though.
Stop wiping his
What's
ass.
that?
Yeah. Well, you
Chipotle.
stop wiping your ass and then just get a bidet. Isn't that the thing that squirts water in your butt or something
It
like
is.
that?
It
Is
is. I
that
haven't tried it
right?
yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you got yourself a bidet, dude, you'd be
Healed
or
up. No
yeah,
sack.
and if you know what? If a bidet's too fancy, you could just go out in like the backyard and the wife could just hose you off. You know what I'm saying? Dude, you'd be back to 100% in no time.
We'll see how much she loves me.
Well, I would say I'd probably have to buy a bidet in my household. I don't think that would fly. I don't know.
Don't know. Someone would hose you off.
Yeah, someone
Probably
Bird,
not
I would.
me.
Bird would hose me off,
I'll
no
come up.
problem.
I'll be a little late.
Getting
So you it might dry up,
little
but
crusty.
yeah. But I'll give you my
As long as
best shot.
no skid marks, you don't need a bidet.
Hey, by the way, I believe that was your wife in the background. She looked really proud when you said, as long as there's no skid marks. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
Nothing
hilarious.
but
Wait. She's
professionalism
always
here.
proud of
That.
What else you guys got? I know we're a little over an hour. I don't want to. Anything?
Yeah. No, I mean, I wrote down a little note because I thought it would be, I think it would be cool someday see like competitions or something like that be considered continuing education. The prep
Yeah.
work and the running. I mean, because you have to get your gear and they have to do those all of this like applied SWAT action, which I obviously know all the technical
SWAT
terms.
action is that's a legitimate
SWAT
yeah.
action.
They have to do all this intense SWAT action that I feel like for me, I'm a very much a tactile learner. So figuring out what I need in my kit and not in my kit versus like reading it on a PowerPoint would probably be more learning for me than just, some of our standard training.
Yeah. I don't know how it is in Texas, but like that continuing ed stuff, that'd be really easy to do to get like credit hours
Because
for your competitions.
that's what I mean, it's essentially like our green labs and our wet labs, but just for SWAT guys.
Yeah, you just fill out a, again, I don't know how Texas works, but basically a quick lesson plan here, and you could get your hours as long as you knew what you were doing. And
I feel like you put a lot of work and a lot of hours into prepping for that competition and then, being in it. It should be rewarded.
have you
Well,
heard of any? No, go ahead. Go ahead.
the guys in the competition, they did get, we have the TCOL hours, the Texas Commission Law Enforcement, for the continuing education hours to go towards our certifications. They did get some, I think it was 24 hours for that for each day. I think it was eight hours a day. So they did get the extra bonus on that.
That's good.
But to even take it one step further is, we went from the old standard uniform, the vest under the shirt, to have the outer carrier with nothing on it. Now we have the load-bearing vest. And everybody, they want this load-bearing vest because it's tactical, right? We look cool, and I have my stuff over here. So we have some officers that have literally everything on their vest, and they're walking on T-Rex arms because their extension is gone, because their radio, their tasers, their handcuff pouches, they just have it all there. Have that, of course. And the chief was asking me, hey, we're gonna put this thing, you think the guys can put on their vest? I was like, chief, I'm worried about my draw stroke on my gun, because I can't get anything hindering that, where my taser comes from, and how I can reload my magazines. Those are my primary concerns. Well, how come nobody else thinks about that? Because those guys don't go out and do the training and stuff. When I showed some of the guys on the other shift, like, can you get your gun with your non-dominant hand? Well, I can't. So what are you going to do if you get shot in your right shoulder and you have to get your gun out? What are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Like, why don't you get rid of some of that crap on your chest and we can move it, you know? And to even put the class towards that, and it's just, it could be a simple 2 hour function test of your equipment. You know, how well can you move? Can you operate this thing with that? So it's possible, but then you get the guys of, that's a boring class. I don't want to take a class. You know how cops are. We don't want to do nothing, most of them.
God forbid we get up and do something.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about developing, and I'll run this by you, developing a tactical PBT course where you have to like draw your PB. Do you guys have PBTs?
Yes.
That way, as you're going through the course, you're just like PBT, and how fast can you PBT a drunk?
You change out your straw. You have to change your
So
straw.
you
Flip
see,
it.
and I'm the guy that like pops the straw off on my leg,
Mm-hmm.
reloads it, beep, I get another drunk, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
You could
that's a
have
money
like the
maker.
you could have like the civilian targets. It's like a little girl at a birthday party. You're not supposed to PBT her.
Yeah.
But then like the grandma at the birthday party,
Not
she's
yet.
not a like she's a
Grandma.
target.
Yeah, she drove there drunk.
And you have a
She's
real drunk guy who's giving you moving targets. The freaking boat is drunk. You're just
Just
sort of like
swaying
bumping.
everywhere.
I'm telling you, man. I think we're onto something
I
here.
think you're onto it.
Let's send it, man. It's a full send on that one.
Hey, ride it up.
I just picture you swinging from that rope because I was at that
Yeah, you were there.
swinging from that rope.
That
Whoa, whoa, wow, that's hilarious.
That's the image.
Went from G-rated to X-rated.
Yeah, real
That's
quick.
what we're
Yeah.
about, dude. That's hilarious. Well, cool, man. I had some stuff written down here, and you answered all my or went over all my little bullet points here. You guys want to move into FTs?
Yeah. Final thoughts? How about we'll give Greg the last word. You guys want that?
Okay. I guess I'll go
Yeah,
first.
well, Smee's, I think we're all gentlemen here, right? We're all gentlemen. So we'll let Smee go
Is it
first.
less about being like gentlemen? You just want me to get it over with, like the
Well, no,
first
actually,
one
when you're talking, I'm actually forming my
over? So
thoughts.
you make me
Yeah.
the best improv person in the group, but
Well,
first.
no, you see, you're the worst. And then when we all follow you, we look like
This
geniuses.
gets better.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I just my final thought is thank you for being back on the podcast. We're just as much as a hot mess as we were back then. Haven't learned anything in the
No.
last 2 years.
Somehow gotten worse.
Yeah, somehow it has
Yeah, how we've gotten
declined in
worse.
quality.
Hey, but we have our own place.
But yeah, we
It's
have a
gotten
studio.
better. It's gotten better.
But thank you for coming back on. I'm so sorry about your arm. That would suck. You talked a little bit in the beginning about like how that messed with your mental health a little bit, which
Oh,
I
yeah, maybe you should
thought
go.
would have been interesting to go into, but I don't want to make him his final thoughts. We can have him back again, I guess.
Yeah, you're coming back, right? He's coming back.
You tell me when.
So
Tell
I
me
think
when.
that's something that I would be interested in because you are a very physically active, fit guy. And then when something like that happens and takes you down and you're just training legs every day, that would definitely, I know this one would lose his mind. So I'm sure it was a process to get through. So
That was Bird. Bird would lose his mind.
they're both, yeah. If he couldn't
Tell me
sit,
where
it
I
sucked,
found it
man.
first. It just sucked. It was bad.
Yeah,
Oh, I bet.
I can't imagine. So I'm glad that you are maybe getting to go back to work soon and maybe get your mind working. But thank you for being on and sharing your story and talking about your competition and your team. I think it's always good to have those discussions with people who are in it and doing it. So thank you. My final thought.
Thank you.
Nice FT.
That was good. Not
Nice
bad.
FT. I think I'm gonna follow it up short and sweet.
Sure, as usual.
As usual. I'm not gonna drag the mic. But Greg, thanks again. Always a pleasure. Unfortunately, I was late. I do apologize. That's on me. It
No one's trying to take it from you.
no,
That's
somebody take
fine.
it. Somebody take it. But I do apologize for that. But always a pleasure. I'm glad to see you're doing better though. And like Smee was saying, the mental state after taking somebody out, it's got to be wild. And I was in that state when I had my back problem,
That's true.
so I went through that. So I know what you're kind of going through, but I appreciate you giving me the time of day, even though I was late for you guys. Gosh,
So were you late?
I was late. I was late.
17 minutes.
Yeah,
I
it's
feel like every
frustrating.
time we tell it's got to get higher. So you're at
Yeah,
like 30
yeah.
now,
You're like,
30
I
minutes
deserve
late.
it. By the end of this, you didn't show up. I deserve it. You're just gonna edit me out of the whole thing. There's gonna be like long pauses during this time. But I appreciate what you do and keep doing what you're doing. Stay safe. Love you, dude.
Let's see, my FTs. No, I appreciate you being on, obviously. I know, like I said, we chit chat, I'd say quite a bit. I know I'm going to get injured sooner than later as I get older. So you'll probably be one of the first guys I reach out to since you've been through it. And I do appreciate that. I appreciate your outlook on stuff too, man. I like guys in the mix doing stuff and doing something different. You know, I don't even care what it is, just something different. And, for me, that's just really, really big, especially when you're wanting to take care of your guys, because that's like my main goal is always take care of my people, right? And sometimes it's, you know, things that they don't want to hear, like you're talking about liability and stuff, but really you're taking care of them, explaining that to them. Hey, this could go wrong. So I appreciate that. I appreciate your outlook on stuff, and always keep in touch. And yeah, we're definitely gonna have you back on.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Yeah, man. Thank you all so much for having me on here. For what you're doing out there with the podcast and then your green labs and all the stuff you're doing with your own side out there, man. You're putting a lot of good conferences on. And that's how we met. You know, the way you explain things, it drew me more to want to do my job better. You know, give a different perspective of everybody in law enforcement, different sides of things. So the more we get this word out to people, it'll get rid of from the way we've done it, you know. Big thanks to and shout out to the wife. I'm gonna come over here, babe. Come on over here. So this woman has put up with my crap. She is the
Like literally,
drive behind,
probably.
literally and figuratively. She's the one who's gets me going on things, pushes me to train myself harder every day, no matter what we got going on. Go train, go train. So here's her walkout song. This is the one behind all my chaos. This without this woman, I couldn't do what I do. She fights a lot for me. She puts up my attitude, but she literally pushes me to every promotion, every training. Go do this, go do that. She's the one behind it all. So love you,
Awesome.
baby.
He does the same back.
Well, thanks for lending them to us. I know it's been last time you guys were doing a family outing or something, or
Yeah.
tennis or some pickleball. Yeah,
Pickleball.
pickleball.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
yeah,
No problem.
we appreciate his time. And I know it's you know, not always convenient on a Saturday to be sitting in front of your computer.
Right
So
now, I've had him for 2 months all to myself.
yeah, he was telling me the other day he's been doing all the work around the house and that you
I
all
can't
look at
believe
yeah.
it.
Actually, truth be told, he was really, really complimenting you the other day in our text messages. He's like, "Yeah, man, I'm just like laying
Yeah.
on the couch and she's having to do everything. I feel horrible." So, you know,
No.
yeah, he was saying sweet things even when you weren't around.
Nice.
We do help each other out. We're a good team.
Awesome, love it.
Yeah, so and also a little shout out to my cousin with Unity Training Center. He offers free jiu-jitsu classes to all law enforcement and all first responders.
Awesome. That's awesome.
You know, with
Where's
what
that
you have
at?
going on,
Texas
it's
area? Where's that
down
at?
south side of San Antonio. The gym name is Unity Training Center. He's on Instagram, Facebook. Ray Rodriguez, actually Ray the Judge Rodriguez. He's fought amateur to professional, made it to the big stage of UFC. He was Army veteran, I think combative champion few years in a row. Dude's put in some work.
Thank you.
When he got started, he tells me I got him starting the fighting. Years ago, I was training at a gym and I called him and said, "Hey, we've got a group of guys, knuckleheads are sparring. Why don't you come check it out?" We did like five or 10 rounds and we got our asses whooped. He took off to Belgium for the army and he started sending me pictures holding a belt. And he's a, I think it was a kickboxing champion over there and started doing this. He said, "Man, you got me started this thing." And first day I was at his gym at Unity, he told the guys, "Hey, that guy y'all see in the corner is my cousin. He's the reason why we're here." It's like, I'm not the reason why we're there, man. It's just, but he's giving me that, I guess, say credit in a sense to get him moving. And you know, like I said, he went up to through the ranks, fought to UFC, did a couple fights there, and now he's just training the guys and training the kids and teaching them self-defense, bully proofing our kids that we need to get. So, you know, people like yourselves, you know, putting this podcast out and get different perspectives, and people like him and getting everybody, hey, if you're a first responder, come train because your life depends on it. And, you know, I need you, I want the strongest officer, the smartest officer. The one who could take care of himself. If my family's in a situation, can he handle that load? So he's given that access to. If there's no excuse, you know, you have a gym that's offering free training. What's your problem? That means that you just don't want to do it in a sense. So keep doing what y'all are doing, man. I love it. I love, you know, hearing the podcast. I can get back up on them. And again, whenever y'all want me to come back, I'm more than willing to do it.
Awesome, man. We appreciate that. And yeah,
And we're apparently gonna come to San Antonio and take a trip.
Apparently we're gonna come down there.
We need to take a trip.
So yeah, so to
Do it.
all the San Antonio area listeners, Unity Training, right? I'm saying that right? Unity
Yes, sir.
Training.
Unity Training.
Yeah, check it out. Was it Roy Rodriguez?
Ray, the Judge
Right.
Rodriguez.
Okay,
Rich.
Ray the
Okay.
Judge. Sorry, Smee wrote it right.
I had
I read it wrong. So yeah, check it out. No reason to not go to free training.
Well, I'll look it up and we'll
Sorry,
share
I didn't mean
when
to
I get
share
to.
it. Yeah, we'll follow it.
I'll shoot y'all a follow on Instagram and Facebook stuff.
Yeah,
Get y'all up with that.
shoot that to us, and we'll put it on the when we drop this, we'll put the links and stuff out there and put them in the story and stuff.
Appreciate the guys.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, I appreciate it, Bird Smee. I appreciate it. Bird was 45 minutes late, but no big
Yeah,
deal.
we only like an hour and 15 minutes appreciate
No comment.
it. Awesome, brother. Well, hey, well, be safe, man. You know how to get a hold of him if you need anything. And again, thanks for your time and peace.
That's showbiz, baby.
See you,
Later,
brother.
guys. Y'all be safe.
You too.